Hello, welcome to Alt.80s, the 80s music program with a bit of an alternative spin on 2MCE. I'm Brett Van Heekeren. Thanks for your company. Well, in 1976, a band formed by multi-instrumentalist and composer Simon Jeffs, called the Penguin Cafe Orchestra, set out to make modern semi-acoustic chamber music, which was totally out of place in its contemporary pop rock music environment. The music was described as being like world music from a place that didn't exist. The unusual mix of orchestral moments, avant-garde dimensions, pop melodies, and at times unsettling elements of noise created a difficult-to-define sound, but inspired many artists in the post-punk era. Two artists that come to mind were Vinnie Riley's Dorota Column and the enigmatic Lawrence's band Felt. Both artists found a home in the indie charts through the early 80s, and also found a home in the sparsely constructed chamber-style approach to musical arrangements, yet also reflected the punk and post-punk influence of DIY through their unique sound. This week on Alt.80s, we'll kick back and relax into a bit of post-punk chamber music and take in some instrumental highlights from the innovative Penguin Cafe Orchestra, the distinctive sound of the Dorota Column, and the sparsely constructed jangle pop tunes of Felt. We open the program with a selection of tracks from the ensemble that characterised the indefinable, the Penguin Cafe Orchestra, an avant-pop band led by English classically trained guitarist Simon Jeffs and co-founded with cellist Helen Liebman. Inspired by the traditions of folk music, Jeffs aimed to play ethnic music with the austerity of Western chamber music and the minimalist aesthetic of Cafe Concerto, as it's called. The band had a regular flow of guest musicians appearing with the band, both in studio and in concert, across their 24-year career, and in all, only recorded 5 studio albums. The ensemble blended classical, folk, jazz, and minimalism with a fairly whimsical experimental spirit, creating a sound that is famously genre-defying. Their music featured unconventional instrumentation, including ukuleles, harmoniums, and found sounds, resulting in a very warm and organic aesthetic. The group's debut album, Music from the Penguin Cafe, released in 1976, introduced their distinctive style, executively produced by ambient music pioneer Brian Eno and released on his label Obscure, while subsequent releases like Penguin Cafe Orchestra from 1981, Signs of Life from 87, further solidified their reputation. Tracks you might recognise, Music for a Found Harmonium, Perpetuum Mobile, Telephone Rubber Band, have become some of their most recognisable compositions, featured endlessly across TV and film, embodying the ensemble's playful yet sophisticated ethos. This is the Penguin Cafe Orchestra. tracks from the Penguin Cafe Orchestra. Up front, you heard Telephone and Rubber Band, the Penguin Cafe Orchestra's most famous piece. Based around a tape loop of a UK telephone ringtone intersected with a recorder tone, accompanied by the twanging of a rubber band, released on their 1981 self-titled album. You also heard in there Music for a Found Harmonium, another famous tune featured in the Australian film Malcolm, among other films. And a track that Jeffs wrote on a harmonium that he'd found in a back street in Kyoto. Released on the Broadcasting from Home third studio album by the Penguin Cafe Orchestra in 1984. You heard Perpetuum Mobile, another of the group's well-known pieces, from their 1987 album Signs of Life. It's been used in several films, television, radio programs as well. And that particular album reached number 49 in the UK albums chart for the Penguin Cafe Orchestra. And also from Signs of Life, you heard Dirt. The group recorded and performed for 24 years until Simon Jeffs died of an inoperable brain tumour in 1997, an artist who left a remarkable and unique imprint on the contemporary music history. This is Alt.80s, the 80s music program with a bit of an alternative spin on 2MC, and this week, chamber music post-punk style. Our next artist to offer a unique approach to post-punk music was guitarist Vinnie Riley, who recorded under the banner of the Durruti Column. Formed in 1978 in Manchester by Vinnie Riley and featured a revolving door of guest musicians, they were among the first acts signed to the independent Factory Records label by Tony Wilson, the founder. They distinguished themselves from their post-punk contemporaries through Riley's very clean, atmospheric guitar playing and incorporation of jazz, folk and classical influences. They later incorporated sampling and electronic dance rhythms into their sound. Their debut album, titled The Return of the Durruti Column, was released in 1980, a collaboration between producer Martin Hannett and Vinnie Riley, where Hannett experimented with electronic sounds in the studio, creating a bit of a backtrack for Riley's classical-influenced guitar playing. It proved to be a surprising success, predominantly because it sounded like nothing else around at the time. All Music magazine called the album a quietly stunning debut, as influential down the road as his label mates in Joy Division's effort with Unknown Pleasures. Riley's most minimalist and experimental approach to making music has persisted across 21 studio albums and countless collaborations. Riley is considered one of the most unique guitarists to emerge from the post-punk genre. Let's take in some selections of tracks released through the 80s from the Durruti Column. We'll be right back. Tracks there from the Dorati Column. Opened the bracket with Sketch for Summer, one of the most recognisable and one of the few singles to be released by the band from the highly influential debut, The Return of the Dorati Column from 1980. You also heard Jacqueline from the band's second album titled LC. The title LC comes from the Italian anarchist slogan Lutte Continuum, meaning struggle continues, and much of the reference to the struggle was to Vinnie's own mental health, a condition he shared with his good friend Joy Division's Ian Curtis, who committed suicide just prior to the release of this album. You also heard Dance 2 from Circuses and Bread, the fifth studio album, released in 1986. Riley's usual guitar was joined by various other instruments in this project, such as viola, piano, horns, as well as vocals. Vinnie Riley suffered a stroke in 2011, following which he was left unable to play the guitar the way he ever did before, but his unique playing style left a clear mark on the way the instrument was used in the post-punk era. This is Alt.80s, the 80s music program with a bit of an alternative spin on 2MC, and this week is chamber music post-punk style. We move on to our final artist for this week and the post-punk jangle pop band Felt, led by the very mysterious and rather eccentric Lawrence Hayward, who was known more commonly as just Lawrence. They were active for 10 years through the 1980s, releasing 10 singles and 10 albums, totally by design. There were two distinct phases of Felt, one with classically trained guitarist, co-writer and fellow eccentric Morris Debank, and then post-Debank with the focus on keyboards provided by Martin Duffy. Each phase of the Felt progression through the 80s was characterised by sparse arrangements and minimalist instrumentation, yet the post-punk approach to songwriting underpinning their work created a unique sound. Lawrence was clearly influenced by the 70s jangle guitar icons such as Television and Velvet Underground, and across the Felt catalogue there is a mixture of vocal-driven and instrumental-driven projects displaying influences from a variety of genres. Despite much critical acclaim and a number one indie single with Primitive Painters, they never made it big but have remained a cult band ever since, and their unique sound, often dominated by long guitar passages inspired by classical guitar music interspersed with warm and colourful organ pieces, represent a clear post-punk approach to the intimacy of chamber music. Let's take in a few selections from the 1980s work of Felt. Thank you. four tracks there from Felt. Opened the bracket with Evergreen Dazed from Crumbling the Antiseptic Beauty album, the debut album by the band, recorded in 1981. An album described as skeletal and mysterious and ranked at number 34 on Fact magazine's list of the 100 best albums of the 1980s. You also heard Southern State Tapestry from album number 4, Ignite the Seven Cannons, released in 1984, produced by Robin Guthrie of the Cocteau Twins, an album that featured a mix of vocal and instrumental pieces, including the track Primitive Painters, which became the band's most popular song. And I play the instrumental track Southern State Tapestry. Two tracks also from Let the Snakes Crinkle Their Heads to Death, released in 1986, was their first album for Creation Records. It's composed of short instrumentals in a variety of different styles, and I played the tracks 17th Century and Song for William S. Harvey. You've been listening to Alt.80s, the 80s music program with a bit of an alternative spin on 2MCE, and this week has been a taste of chamber music post-punk style. I hope you enjoyed the program. For more Alt-80s music, join me again same time next week. I'm going to leave you with a piece from that highly regarded debut album from Vinnie Riley in the Dorati Column from 1980, titled The Return of the Dorati Column, described by Record Collector magazine's Ian Shirley as arguably the most distinctive record in the entire Factory Records canon. This is titled Catherine. See you next week.